The question today is, what leads a man to repentance? What leads a man to repentance? Now, there's some who believe that repentance is only for a saved person and not for a lost person. I've got news for you. The Bible says in Luke 13:3 and 13:5, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Perish means to be destroyed, which means to be lost, separated from God forever in hell. You'll perish if you don't repent. So repentance is for a lost man. The man in hell preached repentance. Jesus preached repentance. The Great Commission has repentance in it, in Luke chapter 24. And so therefore, we need to see what leads a man to repentance, because you must have repentance. I've been dealing with people even of late that want to deny that repentance is necessary for you to be saved. All you got to do is believe. Folks, you can't believe until you repent. So you need to know what leads a man to repentance. I know one time we was in a meeting one time, and this man made a statement, the preacher who was the main speaker, made a statement that no man will ever get under conviction without preaching on hell. In other words, he's saying no man's ever going to be saved without preaching on hell. Well, I know you've got to preach on hell because hell is a reality, but that's only part of what he says you must, the Holy Spirit will reprove you of in John 16:8. He'll reprove you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Hell is the judgment, but God don't save you to keep you out of hell. And many people who all they have is a fear of hell, they'll make a false profession because they're so geared to go back through some easy believism tactic and not allow the Holy Spirit to finish a work in their heart. They themselves short-circuit the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart. So what leads a man to repentance? What does the Bible say? The book of Romans tells us pretty plainly here, Romans chapter 2, verse number 4, as he says this, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Folks, it's God's goodness that leads you to repentance. God's good to you. That's why he's good to lost men. That's why he's good to the people of this world. You realize that the psalmist said, and I think it's Psalm 73, his foot almost nigh slipped. He was about ready to throw in the towel and quit when he saw how that the wicked men of this earth prospered and got by, until he went into the sanctuary, into the congregation, and there he saw their end. He knew that the only goodness they were going to have is in this life. But so God allows the goodness to come your way. Notice he said it's long-suffering. That long-suffering means suffer long with you when you're injurious to God and enemies of God. But his goodness is the fact that he loves you while you're yet sinners. That's why Romans 5:8 said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Means we're actively engaged in sin by choice against the holy God. And God loves us. Now, there's some people today that will try to tell you that God doesn't love sinners. But that's not what he said. He ate with sinners. And he loved sinners. He reached out to those that came to him with a repentant heart. And he loves them. And he loves you. He died on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. That's his love that's reaching out to you. So he what does he do? His long suffering. And you need to know that his forbearance, that means he holds back, sending judgment upon you. The wrath of God's hanging over your head if you reach the knowledge of accountability. And if you die in that state, you'll go to hell, and it'll be nobody's fault but your own. It's not God's fault. You're that way. I mean, Adam sinned, but you also, by choice, sinned against the holy God. You reject light, and you'll go to hell for rejecting light, because every man has light. But God holds back that wrath, that judgment, giving you a space of repentance, forbearance, holds back, and long suffers long with you, and is good to you, drawing you with cords of love. And that cords of love, many times, is through the human instrumentality that comes your way, so that you can see the love of God in others. That he shows through them to let you come to a place that you can have some understanding about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. John 16:8 says that you might be saved, and you're not going to be saved without repentance. So you see, he's good to you. He loves you, and he suffers long with you. He holds back that wrath, giving you that space of repentance. And while he's doing that in that goodness, he's instructing you, giving you the understanding. He's plowing the ground to make it good. And only the good ground is the soil, only soil that was brought forth fruit. Only one saved was the good ground. So he gives you understanding. The Bible said in Psalm 25:8 that he'll teach sinners in the way. That's those who've turned from the broad way to the narrow way but not yet entered the straight gate. He teaches you. And many people today will tell you, and some of you listening today will want to say the same thing. God doesn't show a sinner anything. Well, Lord help. I mean, how's he going to be saved if he's not shown anything? He's got to know and understand the fact he's a sinner. It's not just the words. A lot of people say, I'm a sinner, but that's only a revelation. That's not a reality. Listen, they'll say that I'm lost and I need to be saved. But that may be a revelation, inductive and deductive reasoning, that they're not saved. So if they're not saved, they're lost. And yet they've never experienced the reality. You've got to have a reality of the separation from God. And there will be the judgment of God, reality, to bringing you to the end of yourself. Recognize you deserve that. And folks, you can't use a scare tactic on people. It won't work. And that's what many people are doing. I've even had, and that's what's happened. I know years ago God was moving in our church. We had a fellow here who basically stopped, short-circuited the work that night as they were really seeking the Lord as much as they knew how at that time. And he made this statement, what if you was to die before morning? What if the Lord was to come before morning? Well, if that happened, you'd be in hell. But I do believe that he that cometh to the Lord, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37 said, and the Bible said in John 6:45, every man is written, every man is taught of the Father, and he that hath heard and learned, which means to understand, cometh to me. In other words, he's not yet, that word cometh is an ETH word in the King James. That means a continuous action verb, and it means that you're on the road of understanding or the path of understanding, so you can understand about sin, about judgment, and about righteousness. And folks, your sin's not alcohol, drinking, lying, stealing, whatnot. It's the unbelief that you've never believed on the Lord. And you say, well, I've believed all my life. You've believed about Him and not on Him. The word on means to come to a point, place, and a time with a purpose. And that's the work of God to bring you to that place. And folks, it's not a scare tactic that brings you. I had some to tell me that Jesus used the scare tactic when He said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not a man which can destroy only the body, but fear God which can destroy both soul and body in hell. Well, I don't have no problem with that, but that's not the way He used on people. He never told one person that as He was dealing with them about their soul. He told the Pharisees that. You need to have fear. Why? The Bible said in Romans 3, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Man's natural eyes, he has no fear of God, no respect, no reverence of God. But most of the scare tactics, all it does is just brings about a fear, a phobia, and it's not respect and reverence for God. It's just, I don't want to go to hell. And God don't save you to keep you out of hell. He saves you for His glory. And therefore, He works in you to have you understand about judgment. And you need that reproval of hell. You've got to have it. But God gives you that, but then He'll turn you to the fact of the righteousness of God is what you need. And the righteousness of God's not your righteousness. It's not living right. It's not just dressing right. Now, you'll do that if you've been saved. But the righteousness of God is you. Now, what you need is the righteousness God requires for you entered into heaven. And Jesus is that righteousness. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that He has made Him unto us righteousness and sanctification and so forth. In other words, He's our righteousness and you need Him. So the Holy Spirit of God must convince you, and that's the word reprove means to convince you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And after you realize that you deserve hell, you deserve the judgment of God, and you see it's your unbelief that's holding you, it's the root problem, not the fruit, God begins to reveal to you the righteousness of God, who is Jesus, who is hidden in the bosom of the Father. And then whenever He does that, He opens up. And by the way, you'll not be saved till He's revealed to you. And no man will reject a revealed Christ. You reject light. You reject facts about Christ. But when you see Jesus and the reality of Him in some way, somehow with your spiritual eye, you'll never reject Him. You may be like Paul on the road to Damascus. You may have to lay on the street, call straight for 3 days and get and count the cost and wonder if you're willing to give up everything in your life. And Jesus said in Luke 14, you cannot be my disciple till you're willing to do that. And that's not talking about some second work of grace. That's talking about at the point of salvation. He told that group in John chapter 6, He said to them, except you eat my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll have no part, no life in you. You'll have no part with me. In other words, you're not going to be saved. And that means wholehearted reception of Jesus as Lord. And then some people get all upset over that. Take Jesus as your Savior and make Him Lord down the road. I want to tell you what, you don't make Him anything. He's already Lord. But you've got to take Him as your Lord, and you'll not do that until you come to the end of yourself And that takes a work of the Holy Ghost reproval to bring you to that. Now, reproval is the factual part of Holy Ghost conviction, while godly sorrow is the emotional part. And the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Judas Iscariot repented of himself, but that was worldly sorrow, and it brought death in his life. Godly sorrow, deep cause grief over the fact that you sinned against God, over the fact that your sin nailed Jesus to the cross, over the fact that you can't do it to yourself. I give up. Calf rope, in other words. And when He brings you to that place, you know you've never believed on the Lord. And when you count the cost, He'll send the human instrument across your path like He did Ananias across Paul's path and said, "Arise and be saved by calling on the name of the Lord." Even though he mentioned baptism, there has nothing to do with salvation as far as baptism is concerned. And so therefore he said, "Call on the name of the Lord." And no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 12:3 said. And so therefore he called on the Lord and was saved that day. And that's what you've got to do. Folks, that was because he'd been granted repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. You'll never be saved till God grants you repentance. And it's not something you work up. Many people, all they do, they say, "I repent." It's a word. And they say that just means a change of mind. I change my mind. Listen, repentance means a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of heart, a change of direction. And it means turning from sin and self toward God, away from that and toward God, to take up sides with God against yourself. And you can't do that till godly sorrow is worked in your life. And Holy Ghost conviction is complete. And reproval is complete in all three areas of. And the understanding is there. The ground's made good. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then God grants repentance to you. And folks, you see, connected to that, He'll also give you the faith, saving faith, that you might be saved. When repentance is granted, saving faith will be produced, so you can obey the gospel by repenting and believing. They're connected like horse and carriage, love and marriage, repentance and faith. Repentance toward God's what Paul preached, and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Both are a must in your life, and that leads you, a man, to repentance. You see, His goodness brings you to that, of His goodness to continue working with His long suffering when we sin against God and don't want God and push off God and resist the Holy Spirit. But that's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. Thank God for that space of repentance He gives you, and He grants you repentance, and He gives you saving faith so that you can repent and believe and be saved by obeying the gospel. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.